Now keep taking the calls while I talk. I came to make this a work night tonight. I've challenged the congregation, if you have a satellite dish or a shortwave radio or surf the internet or have gotten one of the KU band dishes that gives you 24-hour coverage, all those sources are 24 hours a day. And I've been conditioning my people again to expect live festivals at 7 p.m. any or every night. We were live last week, 3 hours each night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I've started a series I'm calling, or my wife named it, Scott on Scott. I went back to 1977, when this church was in great distress and on the verge of closing down. And I took us to Nehemiah, where that little band responded to Nehemiah's leadership and rebuilt the walls at Jerusalem. And I played it each night and sat and watched and interrupted as we applied it to now. And answer the phones if they ring. And I want to give you a tip, Voices of Faith. Don't just sit in one place tonight. I want movement in here, at least when I'm not talking and the music is playing. There are certain lines that get more calls than other lines. So when you take a call, get up and move and go find another line. So there's rotation in here, and I don't have a bunch of Voices of Faith on the long end of the relay that never get any calls. Move around. Don't just plop yourself down. Faith is action based on belief sustained by confidence. I'm rallying the congregation and building a church within a church. I figured it out. There are a lot of people in these 29 years that have turned their hearing aid off, think they know it all, and think they have somehow bought a permanent place in the church. I need to remind you about the money. The government will have you believe that when you give to God, it's your money. This is not a charity. We give to charities. Without us, I doubt the Central Library would have finished its goal. Without us, the Southwest Museum wouldn't have opened. Without us, I could go on and on. The building for the Junior Achievement Group out in Burbank. There wouldn't be an El Sereno Youth Center. There wouldn't be... It never would have been the foundation for the restoration of the historic theaters downtown. I could go on. You drive down the street, you see signs at high schools. We give to charity. We're not downtown as a mission. I fought and led the battle that clarified the law in California that a church is not a charitable trust, unless they choose to take one on. Galatians 6 says, if you've been taught in the word, koinonia, mutually share with the one who taught you in all good things. Things. That's money and cars and art and land and buildings, not prayer. In exchange, I'm on a crusade to prove the value of teaching in general, but particularly teaching God's Word. That's why I say don't send any money till you're first taught. You're paying tuition based on your value judgment of what it's worth after you got it. Case closed. You don't go to a fancy restaurant downtown and have them serve you a gourmet meal. And then when you get the bill, go to the counter and say, you know, it's the best food I've ever eaten, but we have this little hamburger joint down in our section of town that's really in need, and so I'm going to pay this bill down there. I used to go to Chasen's a lot. I didn't hear anybody go to the counter and say, well, Maud Chase has got enough jewels hanging on her neck to pay for this restaurant for the next 20 years. And I'm not going to pay for the food I've eaten until I know what you're going to do with the money. None of your business. Case closed. You pay where you eat. And in this case, I don't set the bill. Pay what you think it's worth. So don't ask me where the money goes. None of your business. I ain't asking you. I mean, I don't know any restaurant in town that wants to come and analyze where the food goes that you ate. You take it, do with it what you will. But if you've been taught in the Word, you share materially with the one that taught you. It doesn't matter whether I'm rich or poor. If Howard Hughes were alive or Bill Gates today and opened the Word to you, you are making a statement to God. Paying where he said pay it, material things, if you've been taught in the Word. You share materially with the one that taught you. And be not deceived, and this is the only reference to that verse. Text without context is error. It's been abused and misused. The only reference point is right here. If you've been taught in the Word, share materially with the one that taught you. And be not deceived, literally in the Greek, God will not be scorned. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. You can do whatever you want with your money. But the boats and houses you buy, the boat ain't going to float in heaven, and the house won't get any divine house mover. It goes down with you, whatever you... Spend it on what you want. It's your money at that point. But when you've been taught in the Word, you sow spiritually, and the literal is the Spirit of life reaps for you a harvest of life eternal. You get double payment. Not only recognition from God that you have testified by your action to the worth of His Word that has affected your life, the Holy Spirit begins to add extra dividends, building a harvest of life eternal for you. Be not weary in well-doing. Again, the context is that same well-doing, that sharing. For you'll reap in due time. That's voluntary response to the worth of the teaching. That's why giving is as ecclesiastical as your behavior can get. Because you're expressing worth-ship. Contracted to worship. There's some things, when you begin to understand God's Word, He lays on you the trip. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. He shed His blood to buy you. But He's generous. He wants you and wants to bless the remainder. The tithe is His. That's how you recognize His ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And those who don't recognize it are squatters. And the Lord who died for you wants the recognition. The tithe is the Lord's. It ain't complicated. The word means tenth. The tenth is the Lord's, and the first fruits are the Lord's. And you're a thief and a robber if you keep it a day. But again, that's between you and God. That's what the word says. And don't tell me that's Old Testament. Jesus said concerning the tithe that He ought to have done. So giving here is the result of a crusade to restore dignity to it. As C.S. Lewis said, God doesn't need our giving. He's not poor. How degrading to raise money for God's program as though God needs it. We don't need it. I sure don't need it. It's God's way. So we never denigrate God by raising money for needs. The tithe is the Lord's. If you don't know it, you'll find it out someday. And He said, prove me now herewith, see if I don't pour you out a blessing. He can do more with your 90% than you can do with 100%. But the one thing you better understand is not your money. The tithe is the Lord's. You're just delivering it to the place where you get your spiritual food, the storehouse. The response to teaching is a quid pro quo. You received, you gave. Now, I'm not stupid. Let people stay around for 19 or 20 or 30 years. They think they bought some right within the church. You don't have any rights. You have opportunity to continue to express what got you here in the first place. You have opportunity to return to your first love. Well, I've got some seniority around here. I've earned some respect. You have that attitude, you demonstrated why you haven't got any. I came to town with two goals. Restore this church to faith and respect for God-ordained leadership. Those goals haven't changed. And there are too many in this church that are like teenagers that have ceased to respect their parents. They love him, but they got a mind of their own. Well, get out of here and build another church. I'm still following God to build this one. And some of you laggards are a pain in the neck, and I wish I could say where it really pains me. So, you know, don't expect, well, I mean, I've been there with you for 29 years. Well, then how come you ain't here now? You know, I have respect for those people whose name's on the fountain of faith. If they aren't dead, they ought to be here. I don't have any respect for you jerks out there that, oh, it's the best teaching ever heard, but I can't take the man because I don't cater to you and stroke you and smile at you more often. Up yours. I'm teaching you. Well, we've been in the field for 12 hours, and you've just hired this guy for the last hour, and you're paying him the same you paid us. And we work through the heat of the day. He comes in here at sundown, you're paying him the same. What is that to you? Am I paying you the same as I agreed? I came here, I'm teaching. I've been teaching for 29 years. Don't try to tell me. If you were there this morning, don't try to tell me you're hearing the same old stuff. Too many of you are just constipated Christians. You haven't let anything out, and there's nothing more that can come in. What kind of person would be if God had made us only with the intake orifice? No outtake. That's what some of you are. You ever see that ad for Frontier Airline where that rabbit's holding his breath? And I thought, how apt of all I deal with from morning to night. When the other guy on the tail of the other plane says, well, you are fat. Not my fault. I got my mother's thighs. Excuse-making blubberhead. Now, don't expect me to back off. I got 153 now. We're past the halfway mark of 300 that will commit 12 hours a week. Well, I got things to do. You would have been dead without Christ. Dead eternal. In that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Well, when I started, I didn't have a family. I wasn't even married. I feel sorry for whoever married you if you quit doing what you were doing at that time. Luke 14 still the same. He that hateth not father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And he that taketh not his cross, and cometh after me, cannot be my disciple. I didn't come to town preaching an easy religion, and I don't intend to end my ministry preaching any different. Now, it's always the same in old churches. That was what was wrong with the church when I came here. A bunch of onlookers, a bunch of criticizers, a bunch of know-it-alls. Oh, and they were spiritual. And I gained a quick reputation of not being spiritual. I mean, the pastor they had, it didn't matter what kind of nut came in and babbled off in some unknown tongue, he'd interpret it. Now, I'm Pentecostal. But my Bible says that most by three. And if somebody's spouting off in tongues, pray that he might interpret, and if he can't, shut up. But the pastor covered their asteroid. He interpreted for all of them. So if some poor fool came in and couldn't speak English and said anything, he'd start interpreting. And when I had come and preached and the Holy Spirit would begin to move on the people, here'd come somebody babbling off. Well, I learned a long time ago. The Bible says, God, if you're the prophet and speaking, God reveals something to somebody else, shut up and let them talk. You can shut some of these mouth spouters off in a hurry by saying, okay, you took it from me, now you finish it. What do you say? Interpret. What do you say? Corinthian church gone rampant, turning the gifts of the Spirit into a vehicle of their own ego. And not once, with four or five, Bible says at the most three, at four or five or six, really spiritual, four or five tongues in interpretation every service, not once did the Holy Spirit say, you owe $3.4 million and some people around here are spending it the wrong way. They were so busy being spiritual, God couldn't see their debt. Don't bother me. Some of you that are know-it-alls in this congregation weren't even wet behind the ears when I came here. Where would you and your life and your family be if I hadn't been faithful to the Word? Yeah, but we're tired of it. We've heard the same voice, and you don't seem to soften up any. I mean, you know, one battle, and then two battles, and then three battles, and then four battles. We get to watch the fifth battle. Look in the mirror, you backslidden idiot. Now, you're going to get with it, or we're going on without you. And I don't really care if I reduce the congregation down to 153, but I said in the previous hour, I listened to myself, an army doesn't consist only of the SEALs or the Delta Force or the Commandos. But without them, the regular army wouldn't be able to do its job, and vice versa. I don't want anybody backing off in this congregation. Only your pride makes you back off. But I want 300 to step forward. The rest of you better keep doing what you're doing. Now, normally on Channel 56, we just teach. Well, you that only want to hear the teaching, don't want to be challenged, just, you know, I don't know whether you're right or left-handed, but if you lean forward or get up and walk and go to the TV and turn a knob or flip that remote thing, you know. Some of you has depended on TV as poor old Peter Sellers and being there. Gang members got him on the street, and he had never seen anything except TV, so he starts clicking his thumb thinking they could make the... See, I'm old enough to remember those movies. You aren't. All you see at the movie house today is sex, violence, and special effects. I mean, where are the Cary Grants and the John Waynes and the great actors we used to have? The whole society's deteriorated. You better get involved with a church that's determined to keep going forward. It's not a playland for Jesus. He ain't even here in the playland. Playland's over there. Now, I'm challenging the congregation to get out of your lethargy And remember all the way the Lord has led us. And join your pastor in finishing the job we started when we moved downtown. Now get on the telephone. You know, I have somewhat against a lot of people in my congregation this morning, and against my staff this morning, who let fear take over. How many of you remember some months ago when I was going and someone interrupted me to tell me we had lost the satellite feed? Any of you remember that? Am I hallucinating, or did I chew out a cameraman for not telling me sooner? He was right by me. Am I hallucinating, or did I do that? How many of you noticed when the big screen TV on the platform went out this morning? Anybody tell me about when? Was I preaching before it went out, or did it go out while I was preaching, or just before I was preaching, or was it never on? Not even during the song service. Now, I have a monitor in front of me. And it is on. All that happened is somebody kicked one of the cords in the back, and not one person would hold their hand up, send a message, come to the platform while I'm sitting in my chair, and tell me the big screen was out. And no more important message has been preached in this long series from the 21st to the 26th verse than today, because it was a summation message that pulled together all the details. You are there as a congregation, as a source of inspiration, but the world is the audience. This series on Romans is being laid down permanently. And that's what I'm dealing with. People who care more for themselves than for the ministry. What do you think I'm going to do if you tell me that the monitor's out? If I chewed your head off, you've done your job. It's one thing to speak out in the congregation and argue with me when I'm preaching. Don't risk that. But when a vital part of the communication, that screen is out, somebody's got to say something. And one person was telling us how on the radio from one portion of the engineering complex was yelling at people, they had to tell me, well, why didn't he leave his post and run in there? Say, Pastor, the monitor's out behind you. I would have either said, I want it out, so shut your mouth and go back to your post. And I think you would have survived that. Or I would have said, thank you. And send an engineer up to fix it. How many times have you seen me deal with things like that en route? That's live TV. I probably would have found a way to relate it to the message. Because most of you are unplugged. Even while you're listening to me, you hear something you haven't heard before. Oh, I never heard Cain treated like that. You left me. You didn't hear anything else I preached. That's the problems that we face with staff. Are you here to avoid getting in trouble? Are you here to help? Are you here because you care more about yourself? Or are you here because you care more about God and this ministry than yourself? You can take the phones. If they ring, answer the phone. I want to read something. This is a warning note. Isaiah 63, 10 chapters from Isaiah 53. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Oh, how wonderful to be a part of that. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone. Never alone when he's handing out loaves and fishes. Never alone when he's meeting their needs, their now needs, not their eternal needs, and not the winepress. I've trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Verse 5, I looked, there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. For that, the day of vengeance is in mine heart. I will tread down the people in mine anger. You're given a chance to have the faith of Jesus and to pick up your cross, and just a lot of you are rationalizing why you're not. Ain't going to work. Now, I wonder if tonight this 153 will move up, and there needs to be about 200 more reservations for the cathedral, or you're just going to sit and excuse yourself tonight and be an onlooker. Get on the phone. Here, Toledo, Ohio, I have a son leaving for Afghanistan Special Forces. He called me tonight to say his shortwave sound is excellent. He's so excited. They can listen to me over there in the midst of the battle, 24 hours a day. Huntington Beach, this is my first time watching. I was sitting here doing my homework and flipping through the TV. I enjoyed watching. I'd like to come and listen to a message live. I'll call next week and make a reservation for the Sunday after Easter. You're making a mistake. Easter Sunday is when I present the basis for our faith and the evidence for the resurrection. If there's any Sunday you should come, it's next Sunday. Long Beach. I'd like to come to the cathedral next Sunday. How do I get there? Well, you drive or walk or run. Between 9th and Olympic on Broadway. Exit 9th Avenue off of 110 to one-way street and go to Broadway and turn right. On the left's our parking lot and on the right's the cathedral. Very simple. Whittier, I'd like to make a reservation to come to the cathedral next Sunday. Okay, you did. Burbank, I'm new to Los Angeles. I want to come to the service on Sunday. I'm staying at a motel. Can you mail me a pass? Well, if you gave the address of the motel, we can. I'm also a broadcast engineer. Maybe I can help in some way. One never knows, does one? Just give us more information. I'm not a king's house. I was told to get on the telephone. So I'm calling and making a reservation. Well, I wish the king's house would be that obedient. Get on the telephone. I'm going to surprise you. It will be very seldom from now on. If you want to hear the current message on the book of Romans, today I preach number 329, you have to go to the cathedral or get yourself a satellite or a shortwave or learn to surf the internet where you can pick it up live. Or buy a KU band dish and get the coordinates here, and you'll have us live 24 hours a day. Or you'll have us off satellite and live every time we're live. I said I was going to quit playing the Sunday morning service because a lot of my lazy saints say, well, why go? Because I can turn it on tonight on 56 and listen to it. No, you won't. You're going to hear some other message. I'm not playing, as I have been every Sunday night, the message that occurred that morning. But today I'm going to make an exception. Now, I won't play next Sunday's resurrection message. We may play, I don't know what. But we will not play the service that occurs next Sunday, Easter Sunday, live Easter Sunday night. But for those that are going to come to the special Easter message next Sunday, you need to hear today's message to see the relationship between the hilasterion and the resurrection and the basis of our faith. So in about 8 minutes at 9 o'clock, I'm going to have the curtain go up and play the service as it occurred this morning. So you got to do your calling real quick. And some of you that are here, we let you have a peep into a place long lacking here, a spiritual heart within this building, a place of prayer. Some of you noticed in the hallway, it's Greek capital letters, so it's not as quickly recognizable to some of you. But hilasterion, the hilasterion's in heaven. But I wanted a place where we could quietly gather to remind ourselves the hilasterion is there. And that sign in the hall is anticipating the day that we open the door to all of you. But Friday night I gave a special preview to those voices of faith that were here. It's not open yet, won't open. It'll be short time, but won't open for a while. There's other things yet to be done. So that explains to all of you what hilasterion in the hall means. And those are Greek capital letters, a little different than the smaller letters that I write on the board. But I believe that those that are coming to the cathedral next Sunday to hear this special Easter message, it is our anniversary for moving into the cathedral, either 15 or 16 years. I'll specify it next Sunday. We always celebrate that anniversary. The anniversary of my coming 29 years ago as pastor is the first week of November. But 5-6 minutes from now, we'll raise the curtain on this morning's service. So get your calling out of the way right now. But hear me. This is a rarity. I'm the Lord of the rule here. I choose to play this morning's service tonight. Don't expect it anymore on Sunday night. If you want to be current with the teaching on Hebrews, make a reservation and come to the cathedral. Or use one of the medium that fixes up live 24 hours at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So you got about 5 minutes now, so get on the telephone.